Prayer for illumination. Sovereign God, let your word rule in our hearts and your spirit govern our lives until at last we see the fulfillment of your realm of justice and peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament lesson today comes from 1 John. It's chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Now, I know you have a version of this text in your bulletin. I am actually going to read today from Eugene Peterson's The Message. And I want to do this because I love the way he puts this verse in The Message. If you remember, Eugene Peterson is a Presbyterian minister, and the goal of The Message version of the Bible is to engage people in a reading process and help them to understand what they read. It's not a study Bible, rather it is a reading Bible. And The Message tries to recapture the Bible, the Word, with words that we use today. So this is The Message version of our text today, and I've gone back just a little bit in 1 John so we can get the whole idea of what it is that John is talking about today. So this is 1 John, and I'm starting in chapter 3. For this is the original message we heard. We should love each other. We must not be like Cain, who joined the evil one and then killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because he was deep in the practice of evil, while the acts of his brother were righteous. So don't be surprised, friends, when the world hates you. This has been going on for a long time. The way we know we've been transferred from death to life is that we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know very well that eternal life and murder do not go together. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just to be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. My dear children, let's not talk just about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know that we are truly living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive when we asked for what we asked for when we're doing what he said, doing what pleases him. Again, this is God's command to believe in his personally named son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. As we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. Friends, God is love. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love that we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage that they've done to our relationship with God. My dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever, But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, a perfect love. This is how we know that we're living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He's given us life, from his very own spirit. Also, we've seen for ourselves and continue to state openly that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's Son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul, this love that comes from God. To love, to be loved. For God is love. And when we take permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God, and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, and it becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room for in love, there is no room for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling a fearful life. Fear of death, fear of judgment is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love. Love and be loved. For we were first loved, and now we love, because he loved us first. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, then he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Love. Such a simple word. Love. Wikipedia defines love as this. Love encompasses a range of strong and positive emotional and mental states, from the most sublime virtue or good habit to the deepest interpersonal affection and to the simplest pleasure. Well, I don't know about you, but when it comes to love, sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I might even love with my fingers crossed. Oh, I'm ready to love almost everyone, but I can't be expected to love that person who has done harm to me, the one who has said mean things about me, or the one who seems just to be hopelessly wrong. It's really hard to love those people, isn't it? But friends, love indeed is what we are called as Christians to do. In speaking about love, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, the Roman Catholic theologian, once wrote this: "Someday, after we have mastered the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. Then, for a second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire." Wow, what if we harness the energies of love? Then, my friends, the world could and would be transformed. Do you know, and I may have actually said this before in a sermon here, I can't remember, but do you know that the length of the longest sermon that was ever preached, the Guinness Book of World Records, which keeps records of everything, including the length of the longest sermon, do you know how long that sermon was? Any ideas? Believe it or not, it was 60 hours, 31 minutes. Everybody's like, oh my goodness. It was not by a Presbyterian pastor. It was by a Unitarian preacher. So you think you might have heard a long sermon or two in your life. No, you have not. But how about 60 and a half hours of a sermon? That is a really long sermon. I can't even imagine. Obviously, staying awake would be next to impossible. Well, there's another world record as well, and it centers around the shortest sermon that was ever preached, and it was by Reverend John Albrecht, an Episcopalian priest from Lake Orion, Michigan. And he spoke the shortest sermon that was ever given on record, and he uttered one word. What do you think it was? Love. He got up, he said love, and he sat back down. That was it. Some of his parishioners said it was the best sermon he ever gave. Yes, friends, we are called to love just as God loves us. And that is what we hear in our text today in 1 John. For it says, the commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. You know, all this talk about love brings to mind for me a story that I once heard, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a great story to illumine what we are talking about today, and it's called The Box of Kisses. It's a story not only about love, but about hope as well. Hope and love, gifts that we cannot buy at the store. The story goes that sometime long ago, a man punished his 3-year-old daughter for wasting a roll of gold wrapping paper. Money was tight in the family, and he became infuriated when his child tried to decorate a box to put it under the Christmas tree. Nevertheless, the little girl brought the gift to her father the next morning and said, "This is for you, Daddy." And he was embarrassed by his earlier overreaction. But his anger flared again when he found the box to be empty when he opened it. He yelled at her, "Don't you know that when you give someone a present, there's supposed to be something inside of it?" The little girl looked up with tears in her eyes and said, "Oh, Daddy, it's not empty. I blew kisses into the box." "All for you, Daddy." The father was crushed, and he put his arms around his little girl and he begged her for forgiveness. It is told that the man kept that gold box by his bed for years. And whenever he was discouraged, he would take it out and take out an imaginary kiss and remember the love of the child who had put it there. In a very real sense, each of us humans have been given a gold container filled with unconditional love and kisses from our children, our friends, our family, and especially our God. There is no more precious possession anyone can hold than unconditional love. That box of kisses offered that dad a gift of love and hope that all would be better, and it was given to him by his 3-year-old daughter. Yes, friends, hope and love are gifts we cannot buy at the store. And you know, love is part of the words that Jesus left with his disciples, because this is what Jesus said to them, to love one another. I mean, he could have said something like, "Go out and die with me," or "Keep the faith," or "When I'm gone, go out and teach and preach to all the world," or, well, many number of things. But instead, he offered these simple and challenging words to his disciples, and he offers them to us today as well. Love one another. Why? Because this kind of love is not the Hallmark kind of love, just of God and Jesus, but this love is the love of the whole Christian church. And as the old camp song says, and Jesus agrees, that the whole world will know that we are Christians, not by our sermons, not by our sacraments, or our festivals, or our buildings, or our crucifixes, or our family values. No, the whole world will know that we are Christians by our love. That is how the world will know that we are Christians. It is as simple as that. Love. That's how the world will know that we are Christians. You know, Jesus went to the cross to show in word and deed that God is love and that we as God's children are loved. So even when we succeed or fail in our attempts to love one another, God and Jesus loves us even more than we can possibly imagine. In hearing of this love, we then are set free and sent forth once again to love each other. This is what happens every Sunday. We come here to get recharged, and then we go out into the world to spread Christ's love with those that we meet. Do you guys remember Charlie Brown, the comic strip? Come on, I know you guys do. You guys remember Charlie Brown, I know. And, you know, Charlie Brown was just such a great comic strip, just a great character. Really, really lovable young man. And one day he fell in love with that little redheaded girl. Do you remember that? There was a little redheaded girl that Charlie Brown fell in love with. And he didn't know whether or not she liked him or not. Remember when you were in school and you used to send the notes back and forth? Do you love me? Yes or no? Circle, whatever. And so he really didn't know if she liked him or not. And he was trying desperately to find out whether she did. On the last day of school, Charlie Brown missed the bus. He was downhearted. He was sad. He was really upset and just kind of standing there. And in his grief, he looked into his hand and discovered this note that had been put there. And it said this: "I like you, Charlie Brown," signed the little redheaded girl. Imagine what Charlie Brown did at that point. He jumped up, he danced, he was so excited because finally he knew that she liked him. Friends, this is the way life is when you know you are loved, are generally appreciated, and are deeply liked. You begin to find your true self, and you begin to find your true identity. And I think we dance, whether it's moving or within our souls, just as Charlie Brown did. Remember that quote that I started out with: "Someday after we master the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And then for the second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire." That is it, my friend. When we truly love one another, we will discover fire for the second time. So may we all continue to love one another, not only this day, but forevermore as well. Amen. And now let us stand and sing our hymn of response, number 366, Love Divine.